The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Johnny, that's better than most. That is better than most. Better than most!
Better Than Most is a regular feature of The Business of Giving, examining the best places to work among social businesses and nonprofit organizations.
And this evening, we will be taking a trip to 433 California Street in San Francisco to meet with some of the employees at Education Superhighway. They're removing the roadblocks to high-speed, high-capacity internet for America's schools and paving the way for digital learning in every classroom. Let's hear why the members of the team think Education Superhighway is such a special place.
You're really connected on a personal level in a very short period of time. And then when he shared my story and kind of highlights about my background and how I came to Education Superhighway, it was a chance for the entire staff to hear from a trusted voice, from a perspective of someone whom they know, a little bit about me, much below the sort of, this is my resume, this is where I've worked before, this is how I got here. It made me feel great, and I thought Charlie did a great job of communicating things about my past that I might not have thought to share myself, but that he latched onto and he connected with, and so he kind of got the chance to reflect back to the people that he knows aspects about me.
How would you describe the corporate culture at Education Superhighway in a single word or phrase? And what stuck out to me was the word iterative. I think our mission is iterative in a way, and so is all of our work. Our goals are iterative. We're constantly building. We have the same main goal, the same main mission, but things keep changing, which I really appreciate. I think we keep iterating to sort of, a pivot is too strong a word, but we keep iterating to meet the next goal and do what's actually going to connect the students. And I find that our culture has iterated a lot too, and I'm really grateful for how flexible our culture turns out to be. I think that's a core element of our culture.
We also have something here called Third Thursday Thrill, which to me was fantastic when I joined, because what I realized that is, it's the third Thursday of every month. It's the premise is pretty simple. It's you get some funding, which is great. But you also, the people, anybody can step up and step in and just say, this is something that I am passionate about, and I want to share that with the organization, and we'll do this every third Thursday.
What is the role that you want to do, and what do we need to help you learn or achieve to get to that goal? And then as well as like all the workshops that she holds, not just for work life, but also you're balancing both home and work life, which is great. It's thinking outside of just what's your day-to-day at work. And other things like being able to just jump into projects that you might not be super familiar with, but it's something you want to work on, and just having the ability to grow professionally in a way that you're like learning, but you're actually being part of a team and having results for whatever project where you're working on. So it's definitely one of the greatest perks here is professional development.
There's such a strong emphasis on employee development, not only to maximize outputs of the workforce for ESH's goal, but really to help people grow and improve their experiences for careers after that. So we're really encouraged to have candid conversations with our managers, with the VP of talent, on a fairly regular basis on checking in. So how are you working, or how is your actual work going, but also how is your personal development plan going, and what are some clear steps that you can take in order to reach those?
So to touch on the bit about genuinely caring for one another, I love that at the start of a lot of our meetings, our one-on-ones, or even group meetings, we take the time to ask, how are you? And it always comes very genuinely, not as like, how are you? Okay, but let's actually get the work done right now. It's more like, how are you? And then a pause, and you can really get to reflect on that question and answer authentically and know that you're being heard. I think that's a really big thing for me, and something that I so appreciate about our culture here.
When I thought about that, and I think it also speaks to what's a reason that people want to join ESH, like what is it that compels people to be part of this, and the very fact that Education Superhighway will end, and it has a finite point in time, and that our mission is very specific, and we know that there'll be a point where we won't have a job anymore. So nobody's reason to join ESH is so that I can rest on my laurels and have a paycheck indefinitely. And what I've seen is that attract very courageous people who are willing to take an opportunity to have a job that they know isn't gonna last forever and to solve a problem together as a team on something that's very tangible and real.
Every now and then we do documentary nights. And these have, I mean, this is just time completely outside of our work that we stick around together and watch and discuss documentaries. And maybe that's not everybody's idea of fun. I mean, it's never all 70 of us watching documentaries together, but there's, you know, a fair few people attend each time. And the documentaries have ranged from all kinds of topics, from like bees, the history of bees and how bees work, to Timothy McVeigh or things like that, and much more heavy, right? And just the fact that we all sit around in this very room, actually, and have pizza together and watch these things, it shows the commitment of each of us to this mission and to getting this done, I think, in like a collaborative way together, in a very communicative setting. We're having difficult conversations and we're not afraid. It's really lovely.
These are things that I heard many different social impact organizations talking about and trying, but really like not getting as far, I think, as what Education Superhighway has been able to do in a very short amount of time. So I give a lot of credit, I think, just for the, I think it's so huge to me. It's just like how big this has forced me to think. It's sometimes it's not enough to just be like, I think I can get this much done, or I think maybe we can get to 3 states. We're trying to get to all 50 in a meaningful way.
And we also have this gong moment. So we actually have a gong in the office. And every time like there's a big thing going on, like a state, we actually try and get a state match for schools. It passed legislative. We'll hit the gong and everybody celebrates. So it's oftentimes just celebrating each other's successes, because we're all just a big family and all going towards the same goal, even though we each get it at different angles.
I went through an interview process where I interviewed cross-functional members that I would interact with. I interviewed with my entire team. And at the end, I was really in awe of how amazing of an interview process it was, because honestly, I probably said more or less kind of the same answers to questions across all of them, but I really got a sense of who Education Superhighway was through all of those interactions, and I was completely sold. I loved every single person I got to interview with. They were all unique. I got a good sense of the culture, and it was such an amazing process.
I would say that Education Superhighway is very anti-complacency. So we've talked a lot about being iterative and the strong just constantly valuing change and reexamining what our best practices are and just not taking the status quo. So a couple of examples of this being that we have a diversity and inclusion council. So already we are a very open and welcoming organization. We already have that advantage, but we are doubling down and making sure that people are constantly feeling welcomed and figuring out, you know, what are those implicit biases that we experience, and let's confront them and talk about them it both in small group sessions and company-wide. So the ability to have that safe space to constantly bring up, hey, that actually made me feel uncomfortable, or this is something that I think that we don't think about enough. Being able to raise that flag really at any moment is just refreshing, and it's really healthy to grow both personally and as an organization.
To touch a little bit more about the sort of success stories that we share, we have a Slack channel. We communicate through Slack. It's called Heroes. And here on Heroes, we post when we're out on the field, like, oh, this is something we heard about how a school district was able to get access to broadband and what it meant for teaching and learning in the classroom. Sometimes we get these, you know, heartwarming emails about how we were able to help a school district during the E-rate process. They send a very heartfelt thank you, and we copy and paste that into Heroes. Just a, you know, a ringing the gong kind of moment of like, look what we were able to do together, I think is a really big deal for us.
I would say that there are there's a forum for everybody to get their conflict resolved, whether it's in the moment. It depends, you know, what the conflict is, of course, and what kind of and like if you're on the same team or you're working across teams, you might need to pull extra sort of people in to figure it out. But there's always a return to the data. And we can obviously argue about the data. We're very good at that. What does this data mean? What does that data mean? How did you get that number? How did I get my number? But there's a return to our data-driven mission to solve these kind of things. I would say that I think every individual here has a relationship with their direct manager that they can take conflicts to if they had to.
I love this company so much that I would recommend my family to work here, and I actually did. I had been here for about 8 months, and a position came open, and I call her a kid sister because she was always my kid sister, and so, you know, her being much younger, I saw the position. I'm like, you have to apply to this. It is such a great company. The culture is great. You would fit in so well. She did. It worked out, and she now works here.
I want to thank Nell Hurley for organizing my visit, and to all those who participated in this segment, Brad Weiger, Christine Bedionis, Solomon De Los Reyes, Yolanda Polito, Evan Shea, Jeff Kong, and Lindsay Stevenson. To hear this again, read the transcript or see pictures of the participants in the offices of Education Superhighway, simply go to denver-frederick.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.